How about 33? You don't have to turn the page. I did. How about 35?
Longer. then, let's have an opening word of prayer. Father, we thank you for a good day. We thank you for each one who's here. Pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word today. We thank you for Brother Prue and his willingness to come and be with us. Pray that you would use him as he teaches and preaches the word today. Pray now that our hearts would be open to your spirit. We pray that you would help us to be faithful in this time in which we live. All of us know that we have many enemies who try to prevent us from living for you the way that we should. So help us be mindful of the attacks of our enemies and to use your word to combat those attacks. We thank you for our time together. Now we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Don't really have any special announcements at the moment. What else you got?
How about 59 and 60? Do these together.
These are ones I don't know. I'll be happy to hear that.
Let's sing them both together, and then we can sing them combined. We'll do that.
Oh.
did not get a chance to look. Did I miss anybody on the birthday list this week?
My mom's this week.
Okay. All right. So, in case you didn't hear her, June and May's son, Johan, his birthday is this week. We need to pray for them. They've been staying away because of COVID-19 fears. And I know there are a number of people like that, not just here in our church, but everywhere, that are still staying isolated because they're concerned about that. So just pray for the family, and hopefully we can reach out to them somehow and let them know we miss them here. All right. We get to announce a promotion today, and that's Caleb. He gets promoted to the adult class. So be glad to have him as a part of our adult class up here. At this time, the other children's class can be dismissed. Colossians chapter 3, we are moving on to verse 17 today. All right. Colossians chapter 3, we're moving on to verse 17 today, and we will say verses 16 and 17 together. Before we do that, one last time, did anyone want to say verse 16? Okay, Marge?
Just verse 16, I didn't memorize 17 yet.
Go ahead, you're fine.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with
grace.
Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Okay, good. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Okay. We'll move on to verse 17 then. And we'll actually say verses 16 and 17 together. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Those of you who have memorized a number of passages will recognize verse 17 has a similar way of saying it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, right? So obviously verse 17 here says something almost exactly the same. And as we've noted many times, when God repeats himself, there's a reason for it. Not just to do it. Okay, Brother Prue.
Okay. All right, well, it's good to be here this morning. And if you could open your Bibles for the Sunday school hour to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're going to be looking this morning at verses 89 to 96. Remember now when they wrote, we believe David wrote Psalm 119, he wrote it in 8 verse segments. And it's interesting how it's divided up by what we would say with alliteration, using the Hebrew alphabet. And of course, we have a King James Bible in English. We don't necessarily need to worry about that, but it was done for ease of memorization. And, of course, that's one of the reasons, not the main reason, but one of the reasons we stick with one Bible. With the proliferation of Bible translations that started in the 60s and 70s, Bible memory went down the tubes. And so we stay with one Bible, and there's many, of course, many other reasons for that. But let's read the passage, starting in verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray you'd be with us this morning as we share some thoughts from this great psalm. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God's word is eternal, and that is what gives us certainty in an uncertain world. This world, if there's anything you can say about it, it's uncertain. If you had told me back at the beginning of the year that I'd have to put on a mask to go into a store, put on a mask to go even to church at some places, they were forced to do that, I would have to not be allowed to go to church. They shut churches down. Some didn't shut down, but some did and operated, with the internet and so forth. But, I would have said, you're crazy. That's never going to happen. And, it's uncertain also politically. Now, I don't want to get into too much politics here, but who would have thought we'd have a presidential candidate that can't even finish a sentence? But that's where we're at in America today. It's sad. It's a sad state of affairs. But the Word of God is the one thing that gives us certainty when everything else is confused. Everything else is floundering. And the Word of God is something that is to be studied. It's to be studied systematically. It's to be studied contextually. It's to be studied dispensationally, we believe. The God that wrote that Bible is eternal. And the word that he wrote is also eternal. It's also eternal. And it is the centerpiece. Other things are important. When we think about the context of the local church, music is important. Fellowship is important. But the word of God is the central theme of the church. It's the central theme of the Christian. Number one, it gives certainty because it's permanent. It's permanent. There was a fellow back in, I believe it was France or Switzerland, back many years ago named Voltaire. Voltaire was a famous agnostic, atheist. And he held up a Bible one time and he said, in 50 years, I'm going to have this book in the morgue. And well, in 50 years, he was in the morgue. And the Bible Society took control of his house as a distribution point for Bibles. And so, the Bible is permanent. The Bible is permanent. And God's word is the only thing that can perfectly minister to us in the midst of trials, in the midst of trials. And so this morning, number one, it gives certainty because of its permanence. Scripture is eternal. Verse 89 says here, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever. And settled there means set in place. It's set in place. You can't move it. You can't move it. It's immovable. It's eternally significant, the Word of God. And it's also in verse 89 there, we get the idea that it's not only eternal, but it's preserved. And it's kind of the same idea there, but a little bit different. It was given in the beginning, and it's preserved from this generation forever, the Bible says. And so I don't need to, some people say, you know, I don't need to get into a serious study of God's Word. I just like to take some devotional truths that will encourage me, encourage my heart. You know, I don't want to get too serious about studying the Bible. You know, you'll never regret a serious study of God's Word. There's a lot more to the Word of God than just a devotional thought here and there, and there's nothing wrong with that. We all should be doing that. We should be getting those kind of things to encourage us. But everything that happened in the first 6 days of creation when God created the world, everything that happened continues now, even today, because of the faithfulness of God Himself. And the third thing I'd like to say about this idea of permanence is the idea that Scripture is immutable. It cannot be changed over time. And everything that God set in motion at creation continues even unto this day. And the Word of God will always do what it promises to do from one generation to the next because of the power of God. Now, secondly, we see here it gives certainty because of its power. Because of its power. the more we study the Bible, the more we understand the Bible, the more we understand what's going in our world, the more we can know why things are happening and why things are the way they are. We know that from a study, a consistent, systematic study of the Word of God. Now, it's the only thing that can bring delight into a world of affliction, a world of affliction. Sometimes we find ourselves under affliction. And the prescription for survival is the Word of God. Look at verse 92. It says, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction." Have you ever been afflicted? You know, have you ever felt like everybody's against me? Maybe physically, maybe emotionally, maybe financially. There's all kinds of afflictions that we find ourselves bogged down with sometimes. And some are more severe. Some threaten our very life itself. If you've ever been in a situation where your health is threatened to the point that you may lose your life, that's an affliction. And the Word of God can give hope in that kind of a situation because of its power. It gives certainty because of its power. And when we make the Word of God our delight, we'll be able to cope with whatever comes along, with whatever comes into our life. Doesn't matter what it is. If the Word of God is our delight, we'll be able to face it. Heard a story here. I'll read it here to you this morning of a poor widow one day who, after receiving her daily pittance, she had just a few pennies, went into a shop of the grocer to purchase the best that she could. With a few copper pennies in her withered hands, she carefully spent her little stock. A penny worth of this, penny worth of that, all the things that were necessary for her life, nearly exhausting all of her resources. Coming to her last penny, she held it up and she, with a singular expression of contentment, she cheerfully handed it over and she said, "Now I must buy oil with this so that I may read my Bible these long dark nights. For it is my only comfort now when every other comfort has been taken away." What a testimony. Would that be the most important thing to us? Would that be what we would use our last penny for? Get a little oil to put in the lamp so that at night when the sun went down, she could read her Bible. Because it is certainty and power for our lives, for whatever comes along. We live in a world that is politically, morally, economically a threatening place. It's a threatening place. I'm not concerned about the White House as much as I am about this house, but still, it does affect the way we live. And so we need to pray, you know, but without the Word of God in all these situations, we're sunk. We're in a bad way. So when you're discouraged or depressed, the Word of God can pick you up. It can revive you. Let's look at verse 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. That word quicken, we don't use that word in everyday language too much anymore. It's a good word. It's nothing wrong with it. It's just not a word that's used a whole lot today. But it means revived. It means to have our life infused back into us again. And so no matter how low you get, when you're under attack, maybe when sin is after you, you can be revived by the Word of God. You can be encouraged. You can have life given back to you and the enthusiasm of living for Christ put back into you by the power of the Word of God, if it's part of your life. And then also power here. We have power to impart life. There's also power to initiate victory. Look at verses 94 and 95. It says, I am thine. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. Now, when he says save there, I don't believe he's talking about salvation from hell. I believe it may be a salvation or a deliverance from some trouble that maybe he's involved with. And it's victory over that trouble, victory over that destruction. He's basically saying, Lord, I'm yours. Save me. I need help here. I need help in this situation. I can't do this by myself. And, of course, that's the first way to get help from God is to admit that you can't do it yourself. You have to get strength from the power of the Word of God. That's where our salvation is. That's where our answer is. And I believe David knew this from a careful study of the Scriptures. Obviously, David knew the Scriptures. When he put together Psalm 119 with all these eight verse, I believe there was 22 eight verse segments, all alliterated, he knew the Scriptures. Now, I believe God inspired him to do it. I understand that. But that doesn't take away from the fact that he knew the Bible. And So there are moments in every Christian's life, long after we're saved, when we need to cry out, Lord, help me. I need help. Save me here in this situation. And it's a conscious choice that we make to be surrendered, to be a surrendered servant to the God of heaven. So God's word has delivering power. Victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil is not an accident, not something that just happens automatically. And sometimes it's a hard thing to get people to understand this simple truth. It's a hard thing. They'll go anywhere else but the Word of God and the people of God to get their answers. They'll go down the street to some neighbor that isn't even saved. And can you help me with this problem? That's not where your answer is. Your answer is right here. It's right here in the Word of God. God put everything in here that he wanted us to know. Everything. Now, I don't believe that it's necessarily a science book. But whenever it speaks about science, it's accurate. It's not a math book. But whenever it talks about mathematics, it's accurate. And people have tried to prove it wrong in many of these areas, only to find out. I can remember heard a message one time, and the fellow was talking about, the stars. And he said how that one guy came along and said, there is this many stars. And then somebody else came along and said, no, there's this many stars. And then finally, they realized, after all the scientists, that the stars can't be numbered. Well, that was already here. That was already here in the Bible. And, and then, of course, there was the Flat Earth Society for a while. Did you ever hear about them? You know, they believed that the earth was flat, you know, and that you had to watch it. You get too close to the edge, you might fall off, you know. And but the Bible, and then they decided, they found out, well, the earth is round. Well, that's in the Bible. That was in the Bible already. So whenever God put everything in here that he wanted us to know. And we can be confident in that. That should give us confidence that the answers for everything that we come up against can be found here. Now, that doesn't mean that I know where all the answers are, or maybe that you know, but somebody does. And so if you're having trouble with an issue, you say, can you help me with this passage? And somebody else can maybe guide you into a little more understanding of something. And just like I've had many times. And, you know, sometimes I'll change my view on things. Have you ever done that? There's nothing wrong with that, because once you had something explained to you a little more clearly, you'd be wise to change your view, because you don't want to be wrong. And so if you understand that this is what the Bible said, not what I thought before, then it's a good thing to be open to an understanding and open to the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding in your life. That's a good thing. So it ought to be a natural thing when we come up against something to go here for the answer first, rather than go all the other places and then finally work your way back to the Bible. That ought to be our starting point. All right, let's continue on here. number three, it gives certainty because of its perfection. Its perfection. Verse 96, and this is our last verse here this morning. It says, I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Now, when he says, I've seen an end of all perfection, he's not talking about the Bible. He's talking about things other than the Bible. In other words, that's not where the perfection is. Only God and his word are perfect. And the more you study the word of God, the more you see that nothing else is perfect. Nothing else is perfect. There's no individual that's perfect. Unfortunately, there's no church that's perfect. And I'm sure you've heard this before. If you do find the perfect church, don't join it, because then you'll make it imperfect. And so that's just the way it is. It's a fact. But the more we study God's word, the more we see that. And so what conclusion to this powerful reminder of the certainty of the word of God can we gather here? We need to ask God for a large heart to believe it, to avoid becoming enamored with the fleeting things of this life, which can sometimes distract us from the eternal word of God and rob us from the true riches of the word of God. And if you want in this life stability, comfort, security, survival, there's only one place to go. You need to run to the scriptures. That's where the answers lie. And first of all, we said certainty because of its permanence. We were given something, and it's still there today, still doing what it said it would do. It's permanent. And then secondly, it gives certainty because of its power. There's power in the Word of God that can't be found anywhere else. Anywhere else. The power of the Word of God, it has power to change lives. Change lives. I've known situations where, and I have an example maybe I could share of a relative of mine, and it's actually my brother-in-law. And my brother-in-law was raised in the Bronx, so you know a little bit about his personality. And he used to intimidate me a little bit, and he wasn't saved, and I was trying to figure out how can I share the gospel. How can I give the gospel to him? And I was in my early 20s and wasn't as bold and brash as I am now. And I was afraid. I was afraid to talk to him. And they came down to visit us one time for a weekend. I thought to myself, this guy's not going to want to go to church. But I said, well, listen, we get up and I said, we're getting ready for church. And he was all dressed and ready to go. And he knew that we went to church. And so he went to church with us. And I thought to myself, well, now, what in the world is he going to think of a church service in an independent Baptist church? And the gospel was preached. Salvation, that message went forth. The invitation was given. And I'm thinking, now what's he going to think of a public invitation? What will this do? And all of a sudden I felt somebody push me aside, out the aisle, and down he went. Got saved. And it was the power of the Word of God. It wasn't anything I did, because I'm embarrassed to say it, but I was so intimidated that I hadn't even given him the gospel. I hadn't even witnessed to him. All I had done is tell him, hey, we're going to church. That was about the best I could do. But, he got saved. And, it's been a little up and down since then. That was probably about 40-some years ago. But I believe he's born again. And but it's the power of the Word of God that saved him. It wasn't anything that I did. It gives a certainty because of its perfection. And, of course, we believe that the Word of God is without error. There are some today who are telling us that they are recreating the text. No, we have it. We already have it. You don't have to find something that you already have. You heard the saying, something that I look for is always in the last place that I looked. Well, that's because you don't keep looking after you find it. So we already have something that's perfect, so we don't keep looking for it. The Word of God is perfect, and we've got it. And so whenever we need these things that will give us stability and comfort and security in this world, we run to the Scriptures. We run to the Word of God. I can't think of any other way to close that is that the Word of God is perfect for every situation. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God this morning. We thank you that you didn't leave us without a sure word of prophecy, something that would meet every need that we have, something that would sustain us, something that would encourage us, something that would answer every question that we might have, and something that has the power to change lives. And we're thankful that it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps, and that you've given us the Word of God for that. We pray now that you'd work in our lives throughout the rest of the day, and especially in the morning service to follow. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.